Eurofolk Radio Network here at eurofolkradio.com. Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Song. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 2nd of February, 2018. We are in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. We left off on Wednesday at verse 36 in chapter 37 of the book of Jasher, right in the middle of a battle, and I promised you I'd finish up all the exciting narrative of this great big battle that was going on. So let's get started with verse 37. Take back up where I left off. Let me change to my reading glasses. I've got my computer glasses on, and they're a longer distance. And we've got Yehuda fighting King Yashub. And he was right in the middle of fighting this king. And this is the remainder of the battle between the king and Yehuda. Verse 37. And Yashub had a single combat with Yehuda, placing shield toward shield. In other words, they were banging shields, swinging swords at one another, just like in the movies. And Yashub's men all fled, for they were greatly afraid of Yehuda. Verse 38, and Yashub took his spear in his hand to strike Yehuda upon his head. But Yehuda had quickly placed his shield to his head against Yashub's spear, that the shield of Yehuda received the blow from Yashub's spear, and the shield was split in two. Verse 39. And when Yehuda saw that his shield was split, he hastily drew his sword and smote Yashub at his ankles and cut off his feet, that Yashub fell upon the ground and the spear fell from his hand. Verse 40. And Yehuda hastily picked up Yashub's spear, with which he severed his head, and cast it next to his feet. Whoa! These were short stabbing spears with big blades on them, not the great big long lances. These were stabbing spears. And they were more like a long wood handle with a long spear blade on them. And he just cut off his head and just tossed it right next to his feet. Verse 41. And when the sons of Jacob saw what Yehuda had done to Yashub, they all ran into the ranks of the other kings, and the sons of Jacob fought with the army of Yashub and the armies of all the kings that were there. Now get this. This is what it says. I'm not making this up. Verse 42. And the sons of Jacob caused 15,000 of their men to fall, and they smote them as if smiting at gourds, and the rest fled for their lives. Now, stop right here. Are men going to do that? No. Are men with Yahweh's power behind them going to do that? You betcha. That was Yahweh's hand in that. Not the hand of men. That's Yahweh. Verse 43. And Yehuda was still standing by the body of Yashub, and stripped Yashub of his coat of mail. Verse 44. And Yehuda also took off the iron and brass that was about Yashub. And behold, nine men of the captains of Yashub came along to fight against Yehuda. Verse 45. And Yehuda hastened and took up a stone from the ground, and with it smote one upon the head, and his skull was fractured, and the body also fell from the horse to the ground. In other words, he threw a stone at him, hit him in the head, and busted his head. And Yehuda was standing. He was on the ground. They were coming up on horseback. Remind you of David and Goliath the giant? This is a lot before that. This is a lot before that. So, verse 46. And the eight captains that remained, seeing the strength of Yahuda, were greatly afraid, and they fled. And Yahuda with his 10 men pursued them, and they overtook them and slew them. Verse 47. And the sons of Jacob were still smiting the armies of the kings, and they slew many of them. But those kings daringly kept their stand with their captains, and did not retreat from their places. And they exclaimed against those of their armies that fled from before the sons of Jacob. But none would listen to them, for they were afraid of their lives, lest they should die. Pardon me for a minute, I got a little frog in the throat here. Yeah, I had to clear that. Verse 48. And all the sons of Jacob, after having smitten the armies of the kings, returned and came before Yahuda. And Yahuda was still slaying the eight captains of Jashub and stripping off their garments. Verse 49. And Levi, saw Elon, king of Gaash, advancing toward him with his 14 captains to smite him. But Levi did not know it for certain. Verse 50. And Elon with his captains approached near, and Levi looked back and saw that the battle was given him in the rear. And Levi ran with 12 of his servants, and they went and slew Elon and his captains with the edge of the sword. And that ends chapter 37 of Yasher. Battle's still going on, so chapter 38 is going to be more battle, so we want to get into it. Boy, this is something else. This is Yahweh's power in action, giving power to the sons of Israel. Whew! Man, that's what we're going to have when we start to fight the adversaries, people. Have faith in Yahweh. Yahweh has the power. We do not. He will loan his power to us. He tells us all through Scripture what he will do. And we worry about, oh, they've got drones, and they've got this, and they've got that. And all that stuff breaks down, folks. It's technology. It all breaks. So, Yahweh waves his little finger, that stuff is just, the drones will fall out of the sky. There's nothing beyond the power of Yahweh. We need to have faith instead of worry about all this machinery. Chapter 38 of the book of Yashar. Verse 1. And Ihuri, king of Shiloh, came up to assist Elon, and he approached Jacob. When Jacob drew his bow, that's daddy, okay, Jacob Israel. Daddy was there. Jacob drew his bow that was in his hand with an arrow, struck Ihuri, which caused his death. Verse 2. And when Ihuri, king of Shiloh, was dead, the four remaining kings fled from their station with the rest of the captains, and they endeavored to retreat, saying, "We have no more strength with the Hebrews after their having killed the 3 kings and their captains who were more powerful than we are." verse 3. And when the sons of Jacob saw that the remaining kings had removed from their station, they pursued them. And Jacob also came from the heap of Shechem, from the place where he was standing. And they went after the kings, and they approached them with their servants. Verse 4. And the kings and the captains with the rest of their armies, seeing that the sons of Jacob approached them, were afraid of their lives. And fled till they reached the city of Chazar. Verse 5. And the sons of Jacob pursued them to the gate of the city of Chazar. And they smote a great smiting among the kings in their armies, about 4,000 men. And whilst they were smiting the army of the kings, Jacob was occupied with his bow, confining himself to smiting the kings, and he slew them all. He shot them one by one, folks. One by one. Verse 6. And he slew Paratan, king of Chazar, at the gate of the city of Chazar. And he afterward smote Susi, king of Sartan, and Laban, king of Beth Horin, and Shabir, king of Machnaimah. And he slew them all with arrows, an arrow to each of them, and they died. So the old man was doing the fighting, not just the sons. He was in there with them. Verse 7. And the sons of Jacob, seeing that all the kings were dead and that they were broken up and retreating, continued to carry on the battle with the armies of the kings opposite the gate of Chazar. And they still smote about 400 of their men. Let's stop here for a second for a little comment. What's going to be the result of this? The people of Jacob, the Israelites, all the sons of Jacob, the Hebrews, are going to have a reputation of being absolutely a terror in battle. The slaughter is terrible when you go up against the sons of Jacob Israel. That's what it did, and it spread all through that land. And all these ites were scared. From then on, they were very... Oh, they'd get some king that would pump them up. But they were going to be mighty scared in the early days. Okay, verse 8. And three men of the servants of Jacob fell in that battle. Just three. And when Yehuda saw that three of his servants had died, it grieved him greatly. And his anger burned within him against the Amorites, or Emori. They are Emori in Hebrew, but they're Amorites in English. Pardon me. Verse 9. And all the men that remained of the armies of the kings were greatly afraid of their lives, and they ran and broke the gate of the walls of the city of Chazar, and they all entered the city for safety. Verse 10. And they concealed themselves in the midst of the city of Chazar. For the city of Chazar was very large and extensive, And when all these armies had entered the city, the sons of Jacob ran after them to the city. And four, verse 11, and four mighty men, experienced in battle, went forth from the city and stood against the entrance of the city with drawn swords and spears in their hands. And they placed themselves opposite of the sons of Jacob and would not suffer them to enter the city. In other words, they got in a tight bottleneck, and they stopped that bottleneck up with men. Okay? The four of them held that little tight area. And these were some tough guys. Okay? Pardon me for a second again. At verse 12, and Naphtali ran and came between them, and with his sword smote two of them and cut off their heads at one stroke. And he turned to the other two and beheld they had fled, and he pursued them, overtook them, smote them, and slew them. Well, these were four really tough guys. Well, Naphtali just killed four people by himself. The tough mighty men, okay? Verse 14. And the sons of Jacob came to the city and saw, and behold, there was another wall to the city. And they sought for the gate of the wall and could not find it. Okay, let's stop. It was a double-walled city. They had an outer wall, and if you breached the outer wall, they were shutting up the inner wall. There was another wall with a space in between those two. So they made it inside the inner gate, and while those four guys did a delaying action and gave up their lives so the rest of them could get inside the inner wall. Well, that was battle tactics, okay? Back to verse 14. Another wall to the city, and they sought for the gate of the wall and could not find it. And Yehuda sprang upon the top of the wall, and Shimeon and Levi followed him, and they all three descended from the wall into the city. They didn't build the wall high enough, and they jumped up on top of it. That's the sons of Jacob. Verse 15, and Shimeon and Levi slew all the men who ran for safety into the city, and also the inhabitants of the city with their wives and little ones. They just killed them all. They slew with the edge of the sword, and the cries of the city ascended up to heaven. Boy, I got a frog this morning. Verse 16, and Dan and Naphtali sprang upon the wall to see what caused the noise of lamentation. For the sons of Jacob felt anxious about their brothers. Well, two of them had run and jumped on the wall after Yehuda said there was only three that were on the inside, the rest of them were on the outside. And they heard the inhabitants of the city speaking with weeping and supplication, saying, take all that we possess in the city and go away, only do not put us to death. Verse 17. And when Yehuda, Shimeon, and Levi had ceased smiting the inhabitants of the city, they ascended the wall that came back up on the other side of the wall and called to Dan and Naphtali, who were upon the wall, and to the rest of their brothers, and Shimeon and Levi informed them of the entrance into the city. And all the sons of Jacob came to fetch the spoil. They were going to loot this city after they killed them. because they had come, and these kings were going to attack them where they lived. So they just attacked first and whooped them and went and just took the city. Now they're gonna loot the city. That's how it was in those days. Walled cities, and when a city fell, they killed everybody, and they took all the plunder and left. And left an empty city with full of dead bodies. They didn't bury anybody. Verse 18, and the sons of Jacob took the spoil of the city of Chazar, the flocks and herds, and the property, and they took all that could be captured and went away that day from the city. Verse 19, and on the next day the sons of Jacob went to Sarton, for they heard that the men of Sarton who had remained in the city were assembling to fight with them for having slain their king. And Sarton was a very high and fortified city, and it had a deep rampart surrounding the city. That was a great big wall and a rampart where they could fight up on top of the rampart and shoot arrows and drop stones and all of that. Verse 20. And the pillar of the rampart was about 50 cubits, and its breadth 40 cubits. Figure 18 inches to a cubit. That's pretty big. And there was no place for a man to enter the city on account of the rampart. And the sons of Jacob saw the rampart of the city, and they sought an entrance in it, but could not find it. In other words, that was a battle tower. Verse 21. For the entrance to the city was at the rear, and every man that wished to come into the city came by that road and went around the whole city, and he afterward entered the city. Verse 22. And the sons of Jacob, seeing they could not find the way into the city, their anger was kindled greatly, and the inhabitants of the city, seeing that the sons of Jacob were coming to them, were greatly afraid of them, for they had heard of their strength and what they had done to Chazar. Okay, stop right here. I told you they were going to be famous all over. People were watching the battle from afar and saw what they did and went running and told everybody else, man, they're killing everybody. Okay, well, that's what they were doing. These were all ites. And the Israelites were killing these Canaanites. Verse 23. And the inhabitants of the city of Sarton could not go out toward the sons of Jacob after having assembled in the city to fight against them, lest they might thereby get into the city. But when they saw that they were coming toward them, they were greatly afraid of them, for they had heard of their strength and what they had done to Chazar. Now, part of that repeats that was in the former sentence. Yeah, I've got some congestion here with this weather going up and down. One day it's sunny, next day it's snowing. Oh, coffee. So it's yo-yo weather right here. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Verse 24. So the inhabitants of Sarton speedily took away the bridge of the road of the city from its place. In other words, in the back was a bridge going in. Well, they took it away and they brought it in the city. Verse 25. And the sons of Jacob came and sought the way into the city and could not find it. And the inhabitants of the city went up to the top of the wall and saw, and behold, the sons of Jacob were seeking an entrance into the city. Okay. This is where they make a bad mistake. Verse 26. And the inhabitants of the city reproached the sons of Jacob from the top of the wall, and they cursed them. And the sons of Jacob heard the reproaches, and they were greatly incensed, and their anger burned within them. And the sons of Jacob were provoked at them, and they all rose and sprang over the rampart with the force of their strength and through their might past the 40 cubits breadth of the rampart. They just leaped. Now that Yahweh's hand is in that. That's a long distance. That's about 20 yard jump. Verse 28. And when they had passed the rampart, they stood under the wall of the city, and they found all the gates of the city enclosed with iron doors. Verse 29, and the sons of Jacob came near to break open the doors of the gates of the city, and the inhabitants did not let them, for from the top of the wall they were casting stones and arrows upon them. Okay, and the number of the people that were upon the wall was about 400 men. And when the sons of Jacob saw that the men of the city would not let them open the gates of the city, they sprang and ascended the top of the wall. And Yehuda went up first to the east part of the city. These walls weren't all that high, evidently. Verse 31, and Gad and Asher went up after him to the west corner of the city, and Shimeon and Levi to the north, and Dan and Reuben to the south. And the men who were on the top of the wall, the inhabitants of the city, seeing that the sons of Jacob were coming up to them, they all fled from the wall, descended into the city, and concealed themselves in the midst of the city. This is a broad, flat, evidently somewhat low wall that they would fight on. They had a like almost a road on top of it, and they could stand up there and throw rocks and shoot arrows and do all kinds of stuff. They don't have pictures of it. It's gone now. Verse 33. And Issachar and Naphtali that remained under the wall approached and broke the gates of the city and kindled a fire at the gates of the city that the iron melted. And all the sons of Jacob came into the city, they and all their men, and they fought with the inhabitants of the city of Sarton. They were in hiding, they came out to fight with them, and smote them with the edge of the sword, and no man stood up before them. Verse 34. And about 200 men fled from the city, and they all went and hid themselves in a certain tower in the city, and Yehuda pursued them to the tower, and he broke down the tower, which fell upon the men, and they all died. Verse 35. And the sons of Jacob went up the road of the roof of that tower, and they saw. And behold, there was another strong and high tower at a distance in the city, and the top of it reached to heaven, in other words, to the sky. And the sons of Jacob hastened and descended and went with all their men to that tower and found it filled with about 300 men, women, and little ones. Kids. Verse 36. And the sons of Jacob smote a great smiting among those men in the tower, and they ran away and fled from them. Verse 37. And Shimeon and Levi pursued them, when 12 mighty and valiant men came out to them from the place where they had concealed themselves. Verse 38. And those 12 men maintained a strong battle against Shimeon and Levi, and Shimeon and Levi could not prevail over them. And those valiant men broke the shields of Shimeon and Levi, and one of them struck at Levi's head with his sword. That's Levi, okay? When Levi hastily placed his hand to his head, for he was afraid of the sword, and the sword struck Levi's hand, and it wanted but little to the hand of Levi being cut off. Verse 39, and Levi seized the sword of the valiant man in his hand and took it forcibly from the man, and with it he struck at the head of the powerful man, and he severed his head. Okay, that's one down. Verse 40, and 11 men approached to fight with Levi, for they saw that one of them was killed. And the sons of Jacob fought, but the sons of Jacob could not prevail over them, for those men were very powerful. The best of the best of the best. Okay. Verse 41. You aren't going to get better than this. A Hollywood movie isn't this good. That's for sure. Verse 41. And the sons of Jacob, seeing that they could not prevail over them, Shimeon gave a loud and tremendous shriek. And the 11 powerful men were stunned at the voice of Shimeon's shrieking. Verse 42, and Yehuda at a distance knew the voice of Shimeon's shouting. And Naphtali and Yehuda ran with their shields to Shimeon and Levi and found them fighting with those powerful men, unable to prevail over them as their shields were broken. Verse 43, and Naphtali saw that the shields of Shimeon and Levi were broken, and he took two shields from his servants and brought them to Shimeon and Levi. Verse 44, and Shimeon, Levi, and Yehuda on that day fought 3 against the 11 mighty men until the time of sunset. But they could not prevail over them. Okay, what's the result of that? 45. And this was told unto Jacob, and he was sorely grieved. And he prayed unto Yahweh, and he and Naphtali his son went against these mighty men. And Jacob approached and drew his bow, and came nigh unto the mighty men, and slew three of their men with the bow. And the remainder turned back, and behold, the war waged against them in the front and rear. And they were greatly afraid of their lives, and could not stand before the sons of Jacob. And they fled from before them. Verse 47. And in their flight they met Dan and Asher coming toward them, and they suddenly fell upon them, and fought with them, and slew two of them. And Yahuda and his brothers pursued them, and smote the remainder of them, and slew them. So they got in front of them, and they got in back of them, and they finally killed them all. And the old man, Jacob, shot a couple of them with his bow. So there you go. Verse 48. And all the sons of Jacob returned and walked about the city, searching if they could find any men. And they found about 20 young men in a cave in the city, and God and Asher smote them all, and Dan and Naphtali lighted upon the rest of the men who had fled and escaped from the second tower, and they smote them all. Verse 49. And the sons of Jacob smote all the inhabitants of the city of Sarton, but the women and little ones they left in the city and did not slay them. Verse 50. And all the inhabitants of the city of Sarton were powerful men. One of them would pursue 1,000, and two of them would not flee from 10,000 of the rest of men. In other words, they were big warriors, okay? So that enhances what the sons of Jacob and Jacob did. 51, and the sons of Jacob slew all the inhabitants of the city of Sarton with the edge of the sword, that no man stood up against them, and they left the women in the city. So if these other guys of Sarton were bad news, how tough were the sons of Jacob? They were very tough, because Yahweh's hand was with them. And what does it say in Scripture? If Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? Okay. Verse 52. And the sons of Jacob took all the spoil of the city and captured what they desire, and they took flocks and herds and property from the city. And the sons of Jacob did unto Sarton and its inhabitants as they had done to Chazar and its inhabitants, and they turned and went away. Wow. What a battle. And I'm looking at chapter 39, and it is one great, big, long chapter. Pages. So I cannot get into 39 and do it justice today. So I got about 15 minutes left here. Let's examine exactly what happened here. We have the men of Israel, Jacob, and his sons, and their followers, okay? But the hand of Yahweh was with them. And they had all these armies of all these other tough people. And Israel had damage done. They lost some people. And Lewi almost had his hand cut off. And it was pretty bad, you know, bad battle. But they persevered and finished this battle because Yahweh wanted these people destroyed. They couldn't prevail against Israel because Yahweh's hand was in this. Okay, look at our situation today. We have the remnant, okay? However large or small it's going to be. And then we have the opposition, the serpent seed and their minions. Including some of our own people. Now that's not good. We know that's not good. But that's how it is. We even have some traitors amongst us. We see them. Politicians, lawyers, some police. Now, other police are not, you know. It's just, there's going to be a dividing of the sheep and the goats. What's coming down the pike is going to be a confrontation between the fallen ones, I'll use the term angels, okay, because people are familiar with that. It's actually messengers, divine beings that have been fallen, kicked out of heaven, okay? They're against us. Their serpent seed children, the ones that carry the seed line of Cain, they're against us. That would be the Talmudists and the Edomites and that ilk. Some of the other races on the planet, some of the folks of the other races. Some will not fight against us, some will. Traitors within our own race, they will fight against us. But look what we have on our side. We've got Yahweh on our side. We're a remnant, we're small, just like the number of Israel in this chapter that fought this great battle. We're going to have the support of the divine. And it says right in 2 Thessalonians that Yeshua is coming back with his mighty messengers with flaming fire to destroy those that don't know Elohim. Okay? That's what we're going to have with us. We will be with him fighting this battle. What we have to do in our personal lives until then is to stay faithful. We have to be faithful unto Yahweh and to be obedient to his laws as best as we can. Now we make mistakes. Everybody does. We're all sinners and we're saved by grace. But we have to put our faith into action. Action, action, action. Personal cleanliness, I guess, according to Yahweh's laws, in our own lives, our own lives. We can't force this on anybody else. We can tell them about it. Oh, yes, we can witness. We certainly can and must. But we have to look at the guy in the mirror, guy or gal, because I'm speaking to the ladies as well. The person in the mirror is who we have to work on. Leading verbally, oh, you talk a good game and all this stuff, but you have to live your life. You have to be an example. It's the example of your Christian walk that is seen by others. And that is far more impressive and gets more attention from others, and they closely examine that, more than words. Now, I can get on here and I can preach all day long, but if I'm living the life of a hellion where nobody can see me, and I'm womanizing and I'm a drunk and I'm using drugs and I cuss like a sailor when I'm off the air, that puts the lie to the word of Yahweh. That is a dishonor. And negates all the good work I might do. So we have to be very, very careful in our walk in this world. Not because we're self-righteous or we're holier than thou, or we're better than anybody else. But if we are truly believers, then we would truly be doers of the word, not just sayers of it. I did a sermon on that once. Be doers, not sayers. Yahweh believers, not just sayers. Because I've seen so-called preachers. We got one that's now trolling us, you know, and others. And I'm going to name a name. That's this Jeremy Visser. He is a snake. He is a liar. And he's a troll. We gave him an opportunity here at EFR, and he turned and spit in our face. Okay, that's fine. He was removed from EFR, and if he would have just gone away, that's fine. But no, he's not content with that. He's harassing and trolling. So that is one example, you know. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's not a pastor. He's not a Christian. He's not CI. He's a very sick individual, and we have turned the other cheek and turned the other cheek and let him go. Okay, if that's how you want to do it, then that's how you're going to do it. We cannot concern ourselves overly much with this little person, we have a job to do. We have to move on. Now, if he's going to do what he's going to do, that's going to cost him. Because if he is coming against Yahweh's remnant, there's a price for that. He may not pay it right now, but he's going to pay it later. That's how it works. We have free will here in our lives. And what we do with the knowledge that we have been given about Yahweh and His laws, that's what Yahweh looks at. What we do with our faith. So it all boils down to this, brothers and sisters. You've got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Okay? You have to put your faith in action. Every day, even when you face adversity, and I have faced a lot of adversity, and so have a lot of others. But our faith in Yahweh must override all the cares of this world. Because all this is right now, brothers and sisters, is a testing ground and a crucible of fire to test our faith. If you love Yahweh, you will do everything that you can, truly, if His law is written on your heart, to obey Him. But if you just say, oh, I love Yahweh, and you live for the world, you are lukewarm. And you are warned about being lukewarm by Yeshua Messiah. He will spew you out. Well, I'm down to the end of this hour. I hope you've gotten something out of the book of Yasher. I will begin again on Monday, the 5th of February, with chapter 39. What an exciting couple of chapters. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will talk to you again soon. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see His banner go.
You're listening to Eurofolk Radio, a voice for European people worldwide.